Well, I wanted to talk this week about water to wine. And then I got to thinking about, there's a country song by the name of the artist is T. Graham Brown. And he wrote a song called Wine to Water. And it was interesting because he was talking about himself as an alcoholic, and he was asking Jesus to turn the wine to the water, helping through his alcoholism, and it was really cool. But I wanted to talk about what Jesus did, his very first miracle at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. And that's when he turned water to wine. And we also talked in the youth message about the invitation to a wedding and what goes along with it and food and drink and all that. So I think anybody that is getting married and having a wedding and they're planning the reception, nobody wants to run out of food or drink for their guests at a party, whether it's a wedding or any other kind of party. And it's always a bit challenging to estimate how much you're going to need for the guests you invite. So if you picture planning for 7 days, that's a long party. Well, that's how long the people of Jesus' day celebrated with feasting and dancing and wine and the celebration at a wedding in Jesus' day. So apparently, at this particular wedding in the Cana of Galilee, either people were really having a great time and drinking more wine than usual, or maybe the wedding planner didn't plan so well, or maybe the groom was a little cheap. That could be. Maybe there's a little humor in this passage of scripture when the person in charge of making sure things go smoothly goes to the bridegroom and said, "Hey, guy, you've been holding out on us. Everyone knows that you're supposed to serve the good stuff first. You kept the good wine hidden away until now. What's up with that?" Hey, Jesus, he's called to make wine. He's going to make it the best, right? After all, he is God. And he makes a lot of it. Now, we don't know if the wine ran out early because there wasn't enough provided, which would indicate a really cheap bridegroom. But after all, we learned, it ran out already on the third day. But we can probably assume that this was rather a large wedding. A lot of people. Scratch that. A lot of wine drinkers must have been attending this thing. Because when Jesus made wine, he went all out. He made more wine than we would expect anyone to make for a wedding or for any other occasion that matters. So how much are we talking about? We're talking about a lot, preacher. Well, let's look. Remember those written math problems you hated in school? Phil Brown, he's a math teacher, so he probably would remember those math problems. Here's a good one for you. If you put two things into perspective, one bottle of wine, as we are familiar with bottles of wine, equals 1/5 of a gallon. So in other words, a gallon of wine would equal 5 bottles, right? Now, each of the stones of water held 20 to 30 gallons. So let's go with 20 for a conservative figure. And one of those would yield about 100 bottles of wine. They filled 6. Jesus created 600 bottles of wine, if I'm thinking properly. So now if those water jars hold 30 gallons, then we're talking about 900 bottles of wine. Now, that's some kind of wedding bash. Well, the entire town must have been attending, but never mind that. It's a miracle. Not only did he create the wine, but it was the best anyone had ever tasted all week long. So when Jesus works a miracle, he goes all out. We know that. Because when Jesus invests in something or someone, he goes all in. Well, the first miracle that Jesus is not one that he was prepared to do, he had not yet come out to speak as a miracle Messiah just yet. He told his mom, "Wait a minute, my time has not yet come." So how does this first miracle to assist his mother, who is, we can see here, already knows what he can do, We hear some of the stories of his use that are not in the scriptures, but there are some stories that are out there in the Apocrypha. So it must have been an important wedding. And Jesus' mother said it right there. She is mentioned first. She must be an important part of the wedding. Must be a relative, a friend. Now, we don't know for sure, but it's clear that she had some status at the wedding, and she feels obligated to help the bride and groom. Secondly, Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. Jesus and all of his disciples. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? Anybody who is anybody apparently was invited to this wedding. Or Jesus, because he's Mary's son, is invited to bring the entire posse. We call them posse sometimes, disciples and all that. After all, he was in the early stages of being a rabbi. So Mary must have had some clout. That's what it leads down to. His mama had some clout, and she obviously cares about the bride and groom and the success of the wedding. So much so that she asked Jesus, her son, to help, because she knows he can. That's interesting, isn't it? Jesus' first response, a little snarky. He sounds like an ordinary teenager. Hey, woman, what concern is that to you and me? And then he told her in nicely, "My mama, my time has not yet come." In other words, I am not prepared to draw attention to myself right now in this place with all these people. Well, even more interesting, Mary ignores his snarky comments and simply says to the nearby servant, "Do whatever he tells you to do." Obediently, Jesus commences to instruct them and to perform a transformation. The first transformation is from water to wine. Now, wine would henceforth be an important metaphor for Jesus, wouldn't it? Because it is his first miracle, and he prepares for the commencement of his ministry, and he fills up later as he equates wine with the spilling of his own blood at the culmination of his ministry that he poured out for you and me. Now, I find that interesting that he makes this metaphor even more interesting. The water Jesus used for this miracle wine was holy water. Yeah, what do you mean holy water? Well, it was water used in the Jewish rites of purification, the mikvah. And we might call this kind of water today baptismal water for the fount that we have here in the sanctuary. It's water meant to cleanse one for a ceremony or a ritual in the Jewish tradition. Or, as used in John and Jesus' new concept of baptism, it's water meant to renew and rebirth and transform and restore. And what a better place to celebrate God's restoration promise than in a wedding, the ultimate covenant reunion, the sweetest and the purest of all unions. For everything Jesus proclaimed is about covenant. And he is about to show, although here superstitionally, exactly who he is. God come down from heaven and made and incarnate and filled the holy blood of humanness and the God covenant promised land and all that stuff, and God's blood of life represented in the wine, and it flows from the holy waters into the body of the people from Jesus's hands. Now, God's amazing, isn't he? God's fulfillment of his covenant promise is revealed, realized, released, commenced. It's a grand jubilee, the biggest feast imaginable, and a foreshadowing of what was yet to come when we will all celebrate it and be seated joyfully with the blessings of God and his kingdom. Well, I think maybe the fact is that the wedding at Cana could be said to represent a little slice of heaven. For in that moment, the potential future of humankind was visualized, for all who would follow Jesus would receive all good things and take a rightful place at the heavenly feast. After all, he is the ultimate bridegroom, God's holy banquet. I'm excited. In the scriptures, there's nothing ever about face value. Everything is told by the apostles to us today that holds deep and lasting meaning about Jesus' life, his identity, his ministry, and his promise. Now, this may have been Jesus' first miracle, but like his reading in the Isaiah prophecy in the synagogue back in Nazareth, this one, too, is a portrait of all that is to come when God's promise is fulfilled. And it's a doozy. Because, as I said, when it comes to God's people, God goes all in. God went all in coming down to earth in the form of a baby. God went all in that day in Cana, even though under the cover, the promise, the abundance that Jesus would inaugurate is loud and clear. God went all in as Jesus spent every waking moment in prayer and ministry for the next 3 years of his life here on earth. And God went all in when Jesus voluntarily took up the cross and died a human death so that God's promise could be finally revealed in God's ultimately in resurrection and the forthcoming feast. Wow. I wonder if those who drank and feasted on that day on the lifeblood of Jesus would be the first recipients of God's miraculous promise. What are those promises? It's joy, it's abundance, it's hope, and a promise. And he even went so far to promise that he'd come back again. So when God throws a party, not only the best of the best will do. That's why he sent his son Jesus, still our greatest gift. So I want to lift up our glasses and toast to God, if you would. You know, we do that New Year's Day. We toast everybody. Well, I want to toast to God, the greatest, most magnificent, amazing God who turned water into wine and wine into blood and the blood into promise of the death, the burial, and the resurrection into eternal life. Wow, what a story. God loves you and so do I. Hope to see you in person soon.